scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Psalms. And we'll spend a considerable amount of time in the book of Psalms as we move through the season of Lent that begins on Wednesday of this week. So just to let you know, there are 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms. We will not read every single one of them between now and Easter, but we're going to do our best to cover a number of psalms, especially the Psalms of Ascent, which are psalms that Israelites sang as they came to the temple to worship God. Today we look at a different sort of psalm. We look at Psalm 2. Hear God's word. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Let us pray. Grant, O God, that what we hear with our ears, understand with our minds, and receive with our hearts, we may show forth in our lives, and that what we have learned by your grace, we may use to your glory. Amen. As we read the Psalms, says Dr. Tremper Longman, wonderful Old Testament scholar whose books I commend to you, we learn about God and his care for us. We learn about ourselves as well. We understand our situation better because in the 150 books of the Psalm, the whole gamut of human experience is represented. How to read the Psalms is what Dr. Longman wrote. And again, it's a little book, but a valuable book. David Hubbard also notes that the Psalms speak to all seasons of our souls. Our intellect is formed, our emotions are refined, our wills are directed. What greater motivation can we have to read and study the Psalms than to realize what a valuable resource they are? Which is exactly why you're going to hear seven sermons between now and Easter based on the book of Psalms. Now, the question posed by our psalm today, Psalm 2, is this: why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? We'll get around to answering that complex question in a little bit, but first let me ask you, what kind of psalm do you think we're reading today? The question that is posed gives us a tip, gives us a hint. You might be surprised to realize our interpretation of any Bible passage is to a great extent determined by what kind of genre we think we're reading. Some of you no doubt lay awake at night wondering, is the book of Deuteronomy the same genre as the book of Revelation? You're laughing at me. Well, let me tell you, after 8 years of theological education, they are not the same genre the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Revelation. I guarantee it. Now, if you're still with me, some of you may be saying, genre? I've never ever given a thought to what genre I'm reading. Well, we identify the genre of everything we read, to be honest about it, from comic books to newspapers to romance novels. We read them all differently. The clock on the mantelpiece said 10:30 in Heather Dubrow's book, Genre. What a great title, genre. But someone had suggested recently that the clock was wrong. As the figure of the dead woman lay on the bed in the front room, a no less silent figure glided rapidly from the house. The only sounds to be heard were the ticking of that clock and the loud wailing of an infant. Now, Heather says that passage comes from a book, Murder at Marplethorpe. So we know we're reading a murder mystery. But ask yourself, who is the dead woman? How did she die? Who is the silent figure? Who is the infant crying? What is the significance of the time? The title is still the main clue here. So clear your mind of what you just heard me read, and read the same paragraph again, except this time under the title, The Personal History of David Marplethorpe. Ask yourself the same questions. You'll come up with different answers. Such as that the dead woman is, as the murder victim, is probably David's mother, who tragically died in childbirth. The silent figure who's escaping is no doubt the midwife who is exiting the scene. The time is the time of David Marplethorpe's birth. And this example from Dubrow's book illustrates the importance of genre in whatever we read. If you think the story is a murder mystery, you'll read it one way. If you think the story is a biography, you'll read it another way. Genre identification shapes our interpretation. When I pick up the newspaper in the morning, I don't say to myself, what genre am I reading? Because I already know what genre I'm reading. I believe I'm reading a report of events that took place yesterday or before that are more or less true. Though I don't consciously think this way, I know this as I read it. If we ignore what genre we're reading in the Bible, it will not lead us to better understanding of what we read. So let's consider the genre of Psalm 2. All psalms are in the genre of poetry. Most of us know that. Then there are seven subgenres: hymn, lament, thanksgiving, psalm of remembrance, psalm of confidence, wisdom psalm, and kingship psalm. There will be a quiz at the end of this sermon on all of those. Be prepared. Psalm 2 is, of course, a kingship psalm. In the book of Psalms, there are a number of psalms which focus on the human king of Israel. Most often, it's David. The content of these psalms varies greatly. Psalm 20 calls a blessing down upon the king. Psalm 21 expresses the king's thanks and trust in the Lord. But the second group of kingship psalms are different than that. They are psalms that recognize that God is the ultimate king. God is the king over all the earth. God is the king of the universe. Psalm 2 is in this category. Listen to verse 4. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. At whom is God the king scoffing and laughing? Verse 2 tells us it is the kings of the earth and the rulers. Now, if you like to stay well informed and find yourself somewhat addicted to the 24-hour news cycle of national and international politics, you probably know all about what the kings and rulers are up to. But Psalm 2 doesn't address any specific action of the kings and rulers. It speaks to the attitudes and the faith of the kings and rulers. It reminds me of that famous quote, I had to look it up online, by Leif Garrett, a musician, a rocker, who said, "Don't believe your own publicity." It seems that's what Psalm 2 is telling the kings and rulers of the earth. Don't think so highly of yourselves. There is a king above you. The psalm writer says, "Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth." He goes on to say, "Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling." A clever ad was put out back in January after Prince Harry and Meghan Markle had decided to step away from their royal duties. It read like this: "Dear Dukes, if you're looking for a job, we have a new crown for you," said an ad from Burger King, which was followed by a tweet: "Harry, this royal family offers part-time positions." The company explained, "We found out that the prince and the duchess decided to give up their roles in the royal family and will work to become financially independent, so we have a proposition for you. Do as thousands of others have done and take your first steps in the world of work with us. You know the crown's going to suit you perfectly." Burger King. They said Burger King won the internet that day. But let's think about, I guess that means, I would, as I reflected on that, I thought, that means if you your first job was at Dairy Queen, you're also royalty in a way, right? But let's think about our roles and our jobs for a moment. The fact that Burger King's offer to the Duke and Duchess of Sussex is such effective advertising exposes a couple of problems in our culture. First, we measure value by status. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, over 20,000 Americans work in the motion picture and video industries. But approximately 4 million people work in the food industry, by contrast. Imagine a world without food service personnel, or without construction workers, or without mechanics or electricians. Would you want an actor to fix your plumbing? I wouldn't. This is not to disparage or elevate any particular vocation. It is to note that our society depends on multiplied millions of people who do vital jobs that we seldom fully appreciate. And the same is true spiritually. Returning to the question Psalm 2 poses, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The assumed answer to the psalmist's question lies in the character and caliber of the kings and rulers of his day. A secular culture such as ours has only secular means of measuring those things. As a result, we come to believe that our worth is found in our money, in the car we drive, or the status that we have acquired. Yes, the message of Psalm 2 was first addressed to kings and rulers, so they became aware that there is a king who rules over all the earth, who is sovereign over all nations, all rulers, but it applies to you and me as well. As a friend of mine puts it, the Bible was not written to us, but it was written for us. If we were to paraphrase verse 10, we could say, "Therefore, you hairdressers, be wise. Be warned, you business owners of the earth," or whatever your vocation may be. Be wise by defining your value and identity based on God's unconditional love rather than on our culture's conditional criteria. When we live in this wisdom and heed this warning, it frees us to love others, whether we're loved or not. It frees us to serve others, whether we're being served or not. What matters is whom we are listening to. I spent 3 days this past week at a theology conference hosted by Providence Presbyterian Church on Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Now, please don't be jealous of the 3 days in South Carolina. The weather was overcast and rainy the entire time I was there. The sun came out once when we were in the middle of a 90-minute lecture, and we couldn't leave. We couldn't go anywhere. But nevertheless, it was a valuable conference, and the church that hosted the conference made an impression on me. They have a simple 3-word mission statement that you see posted inside and outside of their buildings. This mission statement is this: cause God joy. At first, that didn't sit well with me, but then I began to ponder it, because the Bible urges us to rejoice in God, to celebrate God, as Psalm 2 says. So even though the word joy doesn't appear in Psalm 2, I think the writer of this psalm would approve of Providence Church's stated mission. Just stop and think how much grief and misery this world causes God. And then you realize that his people, his followers, should indeed cause him some joy. Perhaps the kings and rulers are the ones responsible for most of that misery and grief, but there are 7 billion others of us on this planet, royalty and common folk, who are called to celebrate the rule of the great king of all the earth. And I'm convinced that when we do that, when we rejoice and celebrate, we cause God joy. Let's not mistake the message of Psalm 2 for a doomsday prediction aimed at somebody else. It's a global invitation to be wise, to be warned in the midst of the conspiracies of the nations and the vain plots of the peoples. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Is the one who sits enthroned in heaven your king? Do you hail him as king? Do you serve him as king? If you recognize him as your king, you will cause God great joy. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Turn in your worship folder today to the responsive psalm.